Hello, this is Hugh from Bad Gaze, and you're listening to a preview of Extra Bad Gaze, a monthly podcast for all our subscribers over on Patreon, where we talk about news, history, and culture, all with an eye for the horrible and the homosexual. This week, we discuss the British sexting scandal featuring the Tory MP William Ragg, plus the new FX miniseries Feud, Capote vs. the Swans, which tells the story of Truman Capote's infamous unfinished final book, Answered Prayers. To subscribe, go over to patreon.com/badgazepod, or you can also subscribe to Extra Bad Gaze on Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the preview. Bad. So I guess the question for us, because so far this seems like an avowedly heterosexual news story, is what's the gay element? Well, all these numbers seem to have been harvested during another honey trap operation with a different Conservative MP who goes by the name of William Ragg. And I'm going to send you his official portrait right now, Ben. How old do you think he is?
Oh, my goodness.
He really could be anywhere between the age of about 7 and 59 in that photo.
Somewhere between 16 and 70 is my guess.
Yeah. He has that sort of like eternal schoolboy look that some conservatives have, which is not a compliment, like a sort of ruddy-faced, you know, hair out of place vibe. But he was actually born in 1987, so he's younger than me, which...
I thought for sure that person was at least 50.
He's been a Tory MP since
honorable gentlemen.
He's been an MP since 2015, so 9 years, and he plays quite an important role in the Conservative Party. He was a very hard Brexit, voted for a hard Brexit. He was a strong Brexiteer. In the leadership election, he voted for someone called Andrea Leadsom. She's kind of, if you imagine like a less competent version of Liz Truss. That's the sort of person we're talking about.
Do you know that I was actually, I think I was somehow in the UK for Liz Truss's entire premiership, even though I don't.
Oh, you had a long weekend, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, she was Prime Minister, sorry, for what, like 45 days or something, during which the economy crashed and the Queen died.
You know what it was? I was there for the economy crash. I was there for the Queen dying bit, and then I came back after the economy crashed and watched her go. That was the...
Yeah. So, yeah, he's very right-wing, and he's a bit of a culture warrior as well. You know, he's complaining about woke people the whole time. And interestingly for us, he also has very strong opinions on history. So I want to read here a letter that he co-wrote with a bunch of other Tory MPs, this letter he wrote to Telegraph in 2020. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing because it's like a masterpiece of culture war bullshit. Sir, the Common Sense Group, 59 Conservative MPs and 7 peers, was formed to speak for the silent majority of voters, tired of being patronised by elitist bourgeois liberals whenever issues such as immigration or law and order are raised. Part of our mission is to ensure that the institutional custodians of history and heritage, tasked with safeguarding and celebrating British values, are not coloured by cultural Marxist dogma, colloquially known as the woke agenda. So when National Trust directors implicitly tarnished one of Britain's greatest sons, Winston Churchill, by linking his family home, Chartwell, with slavery and colonialism, 20 of the group wrote to the Culture Secretary requesting he review the Trust's funding application to public bodies. After revelations that a National Maritime Museum, guardian of Nelson's Trafalgar coat pierced by a bullet on Victory's deck, would, in light of Black Lives Matter protests, portray multiple perspectives on history and thus review Nelson's heroic status, our group challenged the museum's CEO, Paddy Rogers. Subsequently, both the National Trust and Maritime Museum have attempted to reassure the public about their intentions and kindly invited Common Sense Group members to visit Chartwell and the museum. However, recent comments by the Trust chairman, as ill-informed as they were unwise, prove the good judgment of the chairman of the Charity Commission, Baroness Stowell, in reminding charities that their purpose is far from involvement in the theory or practice of politics. History must neither be sanitised nor rewritten to suit snowflake preoccupations. A clique of powerful, privileged liberals must not be allowed to rewrite our history in their image. And the letter was signed.
That's better in the original German, I think.
Well, it was signed by a bunch of Tory MPs, including a baroness, a lord, and two knights of the realm. So I love the fact that they're sort of like the common man speaking out against this clique of powerful, privileged liberals.
Also, you know, the history must not be rewritten and sanitized. Well, you're the ones trying to do that. Like, you know.
Right, yeah. And it's like,
I'm pretty sure it wasn't the National Trust that linked Churchill's family to slavery and colonialism, but rather that linked
exactly
to slavery and colonialism. And they did that by buying and selling people.
Right. And the idea that people are snowflakes, it's like you're the one who is writing a letter to an MP and a lord who are writing a letter to a national newspaper because you're upset about Nelson's coat being portrayed with other opinions about it. So anyway,
wings are heard. They're very, very sad.
So that's William Ragg. So you get the impression of him, and you might sort of think of him as this sort of very stuffy, well, he is a very stuffy, conservative, old school, right-wing Tory.
And that's an open homosexual.
Well, yes, this is where he comes into it. So at some point in the last few years, he had been chatting on the popular social network Grindr, making some new friends. So some guy had contacted him on Grindr, and he had sent him what I believe to refer to as compromising photographs of himself.
Who had said William Ragg had sent compromising photographs of himself?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I have no evidence at all for what these might be, but I definitely believe that they are piss pics. Or at the very least, he's posting hole with face and tongue out, probably, because he looks like a nasty little piss pic who'll do anything for male attention.
Hugh, I quit. I quit the podcast. I'm not doing this anymore. You just made me imagine that person doing that. I'm never speaking to you ever again. Bye.
Sweet Bye. Dreams, Ben. Have a
listeners, it's been great. It's been fun. Thank you so much for the support. I think I'm going to enter witness protection. I'm changing my name and identity.
Never contact me again.
Yeah.
So this is what
me to remove that image to my head.
This is what he told the Times when he's admitted it, obviously, and gone, and he's talked about it in the Times, which is like this very big British paper, obviously. And this is what he told the Times, quote, "I got chatting to a guy on an app and we exchanged pictures. We were meant to meet up for drinks, but then we didn't. Then he started asking for numbers of people. They had compromising things on me. They wouldn't leave me alone. They would ask for people. I gave him some numbers, not all of them. I told him to stop. He's manipulated me, and now I've hurt other people. I was worried because he had stuff on me. He gave me a WhatsApp number, which doesn't work now. I've hurt people by being weak. I was scared. I'm mortified. I'm so sorry that my weakness has caused other people hurt." Which is sad. That's a sad statement. It's someone, yeah, I don't know. It's a strange, you know, it's a strange thing to read, no?
It is a sad statement, although I'm fundamentally incapable of feeling sorry for this person. I mean, the thing is, couldn't he just have... So in other words, he was blackmailed, and instead of going to the police and saying, look, someone has blackmailed me, let's find this person, he complied and passed on his colleague's information to this sort of scam group.
Yeah, or person who we still don't know who this person or group is.
Whoever it is who's doing this. The thing that I think really surprises me about this is, like, was he doing something? Okay, so obviously here you have like a right-wing Tory who's like hanging out on Grindr, but it's not like he's married to a woman, right? Like, it's not like he's like, was he out? Like, would it have been like, if this had come out, if he had gone to the police and said, I've been blackmailed, like, and this had become public, like, would this have disturbed his standing any more than this has? I mean,
I guess it's the panic, you know, like you send, let's assume that they're clearly nudes or compromising in some way like that. And he's panicked by it, you know, so he just does it. He is out. I mean, even in his coming out, he did make quite a strong statement that he was not like the other gays, doesn't want to be put in a box, et cetera, et cetera. But he is out.
And here he is allegedly showing hole on Grindr.
The thing is that the guy had blackmailed him and he hadn't given in and had gone to the police, the worst thing that would have happened is they would have been posted, right? Like the likely thing is that nothing would have happened because you're using them for blackmail, not because you specifically want to post a Tory MP's hole pics on Twitter. If that did happen, it would be embarrassing for him, but I think would probably be the source of like quite a lot of sympathy, no? Like right, someone's taken his private photos and exposed them. Whereas what he did, which was obviously a moment of weakness for him, was actually, you know, subject his other fellow Tory MPs to putting them into a similar situation.
Right, which I just can't feel so bad about either. I mean,
it is funny. Like it's like so like everything about this man and the Tory party, it's so fucking old fashioned. Like it's such a. Is the, you could imagine this exact the exact parameters of this sex scandal happening in like 1920. I mean, it's like so except it would be, you know, Polaroids, and I mean it's just so it's so old school. And it's the other thing that I think is really interesting, and this is just something that I think the world is not ready for, with the entry of the millennials and young millennials into the political sphere, we are entering into an era in our society when you're just going to have seen the prime minister's dick.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what I was thinking. Yeah.
All of us, like everyone under 40, there are photographs.
Except I mean, it's
everyone else under 40 photographs, and you, of course, we're the only two people. And so, it's like, in a weird way, I feel like this is going to be like, I mean, a much more kind of moment by moment disturbing, but you know, almost like when the sort of first generation of baby boomers, which is one of the first. Generations with really sort of mass illegal drug use, right?
Yeah.
Like marijuana, obviously. And they all enter into politics, and you have Bill Clinton's famous, well, I tried it, but I didn't inhale, you know, then, you know, one generation of politician later, Obama says, well, yes, of course I inhaled. That was the point. And then it just becomes, and then it's no longer even a question. Like, did you use marijuana when you were a teenager? Like no one would even care anymore. Right. And I feel like we're now in a position where these sorts of pictures are going to be, there's going to be a whole generation of politicians, and I feel bad for them actually in a way, not RAG, but other ones, a whole generation of politicians who are sort of the ones on whom this gets worked out. And then probably in about 10 years, they're going to be sort of funny things that circulate and they'll be turned into memes, but like. I don't think they're going to get that much like mainstream media traction.
Yeah, I think
for state senate in, I think it was Virginia this year, who was a school teacher, and there were like pictures and videos that came out, and she lost a very narrow race. And I felt really awful for her, right? Because here's someone who's like, you know, just a nice lady trying to run for office to like help her community or whatever. And, you know, like everyone else under the age of 40, this picture is circulating somewhere, and she just kind of got hit by it. But again, that's the kind of thing that I think in 10 years this won't be that much of an issue.
Actually, I think I totally agree with you, but I think it'll be longer than that, because I think actually what you'll have is you'll have, first of all, a generation of MPs who have been who are sort of like a complete wonks and nerds, the sort of Wes Streeting types who'll know they've wanted to be an MP since they were 10 years old, and so have never taken a nude specifically because of it. And as a result, they've missed out on all sorts of like aspects of real life and life experience because they've sort of sheltered themselves through the idea of they want to be a career politician. And that is actually what's really damaging. Like you won't get the people who you used to get in politics coming up through, say, the trade union movement, or who have life experience and worked in real jobs and et cetera, lived a real life, because those are the people that will first be shut out by this. And then eventually there'll be enough people, you know, our generation will be in their 60s and be like, well, nudes are nothing, who cares? And that's when you'll start to get the first prime ministerial dick pic, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I think
I think it's going to be faster than that. I just do, because I think that people are, I think that the voting generation, I think once the people who are now in their 70s and 80s are no longer voting, I just think that the ability of a scandal like this to actually damage people is going to really diminish. Not a scandal in terms of like what RAG did, which is sharing, you know, but a scandal in terms of like, you know, the existence of the pictures, that being the scandal, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, back to the RAG thing. I mean, there is obviously like a very obvious human element to the story, in which he is like a gay man who's been blackmailed as a result of doing things that like a lot of gay men, if not most gay men, do. And, you know, it must have been a deeply humiliating experience. And obviously, like, you can't and we shouldn't try to condone blackmail, especially around people's sexuality. But there is this other aspect of the case to consider, which is, of course, that he is very happy to visit misery on millions of his fellow humans. And if you look at his voting record, it's like very telling. You know, he's voted consistently against decent welfare benefits for people, for raising the threshold on taxes, for a lower rate of capital gains tax, against taxing banks, but for restricting trade unions, against secure tenancies, against abortion rights, importantly, for laws to make it easier to strip people of their citizenship. So like the desire to ask for human sympathy is like has to be tempered against the fact that like he has no sympathy for other people going through difficult situations. Yeah, but most pertinently of all,
opposed to the idea of human sympathy. This is someone who's his entire public life is an attack on the idea that there could be such a thing as human sympathy.
Yeah, or vulnerability, or you know, like people who need a bit of help, you know, and a bit of support. But the most important thing, I think, and very pertinently, which I think does make this actually a political case and not just a human interest case, is he also voted for the authorization of criminal conduct by undercover police officers and covert sources who were investigating, for example, activist groups. So he does actually believe that it's perfectly fine to commit criminal acts under surveillance in order to blackmail people, just not him.
Right, because this was the scandal. This is one of the scandals and many scandals in the UK, and there's obviously been many of these in the US as well, right, where police officers infiltrate activist movements and in many cases actually have sexual and romantic relationships with people who it turns out they're the whole time just reporting on.
Yeah, this is what's known in the UK as the spy cops scandal, and it's been going on for literally generations.